Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and look what the cat drug in. My good colleague, buddy, pal, the host who doesn't like toast. That's going to be the off season. I think it's permissible to say that about a one, Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, buddy, man, we missed you so much here. Some people more than others. How you doing, my friend?
I understand. I'm sure that's true. I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And
you know what I am?
What?
I'm a grown ass man.
You are grown. We're getting too old for this stuff. Yes. I will always defer to the Murtaugh and Riggs classic known as Lethal Weapon. So I wish I was nearing retirement age, but I'm no longer there. In fact, I've been carrying your dead weight around for the last few shows. So we're going to get your opinions this time. It's going to be hopefully more of Brian talking than myself, but we do have a couple of things that we do need to cover.
That's
actually
terrifying.
A trifecta. Yeah, it's terrifying. I could have let you go solo. So been a while since you had to do that, my friend. Well, general managers, we continue to get some more. We said Lewis Riddick. Now there's one of the directors, player personnel or whatever with the Colts comes into the fold. So the Steelers continue to, I guess they're doing their diligence. They shouldn't just assume. I don't think you would assume that this one is necessarily going to be an internal hire necessarily.
Doesn't feel that way.
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't. I don't believe it. I think this one's going to surprise some folks, kind of like Mike Tomlin coming out of nowhere. I think everyone thought that that job was going to either Ken Wisenhunt or Russ Grimm back in 2007. So I think the GM job's going to go the same way, although no surprise here. Defensive coordinator, now official, Terrell Austin, promoted as expected, as anticipated. But we had some other news that dropped. Did you have any clue whatsoever that the Steelers were looking at a wide receivers coach?
Look, let me put it this way. Did I have a clue? No. Am I surprised? No.
No, I was surprised because there was like, you know, in this day and age, you get nothing but the hot takes. It's almost all hot takes, like 99%. And it was like, oh my God, Mike Tomlin was standing in the rain watching Malik Willis. That must mean that he is the draft pick. No matter what, they will move mountains in order to make it happen. But this was like, no, this came out of nowhere. Frisman Jackson, 14 years experience as a coach, college and NFL experience, previous two seasons with Carolina Panthers, did a good job with DJ Moore there. He was also an offensive passing game coordinator after he was promoted from the wide receivers coach. And so he's going to bring some stuff.
Has a little history with Matt Canada too.
Yes. So this is I tell everybody this. It sometimes who you know type thing with the NFL. It is. A lot of these guys work a lot with the other guys.
That's the case around anywhere.
Yeah. Even more with football, because some of these jobs, 2-3 years, head coach is axed. He might not bring on the same staff. And then who were you working with before? College ranks, pro ranks. It's all networking. It's all a big fraternity I don't want to say necessarily fraternity. We've got ladies involved now too. So a community, probably a better word there. So largely still fraternity, but you know, there's some inroads. I spoke about that too. It's like you don't necessarily have to have been a football player to be a good football coach. I didn't know. I should say it the same way that you said it. I was surprised, but yet it was like, oh, well, that makes sense considering the way wide receivers weren't getting open or weren't catching the ball.
Weren't blocking as effectively as they needed to.
Yeah, there was some things.
I mean, some changes had to be made. And I guess they thought, all right, Ike, you're not doing what we want you to do. Let's get some fresh blood in here. I mean, you know, be fair. I don't know how fresh, this guy is.
Frisman Jackson, by the
Frisman,
way.
Frisman. I knew it was just like an F. I didn't want to call him Frisbee because, you know, That's not
that's going to be
right
your
name.
We don't really have a nickname for you.
No, I don't.
Or me.
I don't. Well, I'm the host who doesn't like toast.
Oh, okay.
And you're the guy with no hair.
I'm going to, well, we don't know that because I always wear a hat. It's the LL Cool J gimmick. So for those of us, those of you who watch it, that's 100% the reason. It's not
for the two percenters. I got something for the two percenters at the end of this about hair.
Okay.
Just remind me. Okay.
I'll take the hat off for the two percenters.
There you go. Anyway, yes, it's not tremendously surprising to me just because of the way the wide receivers performed. They certainly did not outperform last year. They underperformed. There was a lot of sloppy routes. There was a lot of lack of effort. There was a lot of give up on plays. And I think that, when you take all that into effect, is it a great surprise that the coach just decided to make a change? No. You get a new perspective, somebody to try and take these guys and get them a little more attuned to what they want them to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And wow, we've got a lot of meat on the bone, because the last time I had you on, between here, three episodes, two of which I like just hammered on quarterbacks. So I'm going to try and this might be lightning round, just so we can make sure we cover all the bases and kind of get some of your concepts melded with mine here on the path the Steelers should maybe take this offseason, that not only free agents, but all of this quarterback insanity that's been going on. And before, I was talking about how the Steelers should maybe stand pat with the quarterbacks they already have. I had already gone through some of the different names that come up, whether they're free agents or not. A great deal of them are not and will require a trade. Brian, what do you think, first and foremost, what's your feeling on what I guess we have our personal feelings on how the Steelers should handle this, and I do think it's the way that they are going to handle it, by the way, as well, just because it is Kevin Colbert and not a different general manager yet, not a different philosophy. But what do you think the Steelers should do with this position this offseason?
What do I think they should do? Look, if you get the right, I've said this all along. If there's a decent veteran quarterback that you can get for the right deal, right price, whatever it is, fine. I got no problem with it. I don't think that will happen, but you never know. Crazy. I mean, quarterbacks go. Like, look, they're talking about people making $40+ million a year now. Because you got Patrick Mahomes with making the national debt for a 10-year or 40-year contract or ever, however long he's going to play.
It's like $450 million or whatever.
Yeah, some crazy numbers.
Go buy his own team when it's over with.
Are they going to throw that kind of money out? I mean, look, do I want them to – here's the one side of the argument, right? Okay, one side of the argument is maybe they spend a lot of money and get a guy who – has some upside, has some potential for a few years, maybe keeps them in contention, maybe even gets them deep into the playoffs. Maybe. All maybes. Then the other flip side of that is they spend a lot of money and they get Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'm going there. I've got some names. So
yeah.
Just to recap, in case you didn't catch it, my stance all along has been, you've got two philosophies here. It's draft and free agency, okay? Now, yep. In free agency, it's always, let's find the guy that's the reclamation project. Last year, it was Sam Darnold or Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, guys that were former first-round picks, in those cases, almost all at the very top of the draft, top overall. And let's get them. And, they've been bad because they've been in the wrong spot. They've just had a bad go, and joining the Steelers, they will automatically become all pros and gold jacket wearers. And I look at this and I say, well, that's Dwayne Haskins. That's who you got right now. But people still want to find somebody else. And we'll mention the names. But this is just the philosophy here. It's sign a veteran. And I'm like, is the veteran going to be better? Now, we know Dwayne got sacked a lot, turned the ball over. He's had like 16 starts. Mason Rudolph has had, I think, 10 starts overall in his career. And he represents the draft of quarterback, but maybe not in the first round. It depends on who's there at 20. Should fix the offensive line. But if you could get Sam Howell in the second round, which I don't think you do at 52 or wherever they're at, and or in the third round, Malik Willis, who I think you got to be smoking the wacky tobacco. And quite frequently to think that some of these guys, I love, it's every year we deal with this. The first round grade guys that they think are going to fall into the middle rounds and don't. But then you get one that does, who was actually mock drafted to the Steelers many times back in 2018. That would be Mason Rudolph with only 10 starts. And nah, he's no good anymore. We've all saw what he's done. And I keep hammering this. I may have to have another show where I just look at 2019 game by game. James Conner fumbling, Juju fumbling, all kinds of things like that. And this is the blame that gets put on Rudolph when Duck Hodges was in there sometimes too. And people still forget we were there sitting next to each other, weren't we, for that
game? Yes, we were. Absolutely.
Yeah, when Mason got knocked out by Earl Thomas. Mason got knocked out. Yep. And people were still under the belief that he got benched for Duck Hodges. And that wasn't the case at that point. And he comes back, he wins some games. But people do remember Dante Moncrief, who was not good at catching the football. People do remember Randy Fichtner, who was not good as an offensive coordinator. But they don't apply that to maybe why the quarterback position was in such shambles that season, not to mention that Ben got hurt and Mason wasn't a full training camp. So I've been at the position of, why don't we see what these guys do? Because when you go to these other gentlemen and you take a look at, I don't know if we could call them all gentlemen at this point, but certainly the jury is out on Deshaun Watson with using that term right now. It's alleged.
That's out.
Okay, it's alleged.
There's no way.
So I don't want to have a slip of the tongue anywhere here. But over the cap.com, where I always pull this info from, the team cap space for the Steelers right now is at $31.2 million. I'm not sure again if that covers the rollover money from last season, and it also doesn't mean that they won't make some other moves to free up. The hot one is like Joe Schobert and his contract. Zach Banner maybe saves them $5 million if he's cut with only 1.6 mil cap dead, and Schobert 1.8. But then you got to replace these guys. You save 7.8 with Schobert, but then you got to replace these guys with someone too, of course, and spend money and maybe sometimes more money, and maybe you don't upgrade the position, which is exactly where I'm at with the quarterback. So, Brian, let me talk about who isn't a free agent first and foremost. A one Aaron Rodgers that you would have to trade for,
yep,
who is due $46 million by the Packers this upcoming season. And they would eat $26.8 million of that in dead cap. Now, they're already going to eat with the void year from redoing his contract, 7.6. They will save $20 million, but this team is looking at eating $32 million. They probably want to keep that guy in the building for another year or get something for it. But again, now you're talking about you're going to trade for someone who's only under a one-year contract. If you go and extend, what, 38 going on 39, how many more years? Playing at an MVP level, but you got to give something up. And then I just mentioned 31 or whatever in cap space in order to make him fit and fall in line with these other quarterback contracts. Average per year, mind you. These aren't the cap hits necessarily or where it's spread out, but Mahomes, king of the mountain at 45, Josh Allen at 43 per million. $43 million. These are all the $40 million club. Dak Prescott right on the money, and Watson's right underneath with 39. But Watson's hit, I think I'll mention this later, is much more than that. Russell Wilson, 35. Jared Goff, 33. Aaron Rodgers, 33. Kirk Cousins, 33. Carson Wentz, 32. Matt Ryan, 30. So on and so forth. You get a few guys that are underneath 30 there. But all the ones that are 25 to 30 are Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Jimmy G, and Ryan Tannehill. To round that out. So you kind of get an idea that the next contract's always the richest. You bring Aaron Rodgers on. Now you can't sign anybody else to put around him. And you give up draft picks too.
Look, you're not giving up draft picks to get a guy. You're not renting a guy for a year or two by giving up the future of your franchise and draft picks. And that's what it's going to take. So you're not going to do that. I will literally run out of my house naked if they were to trade first-round draft picks for Aaron Rodgers. Now, if the Packers are suddenly taking trips to Colorado and to Las Vegas, buying a whole lot of edibles and other things from the dispensary, come back to Green Bay and are just baked out of their minds and call the Steelers up and say, hey, you know what? Aaron's such a pain in the butt. You want him for a seventh-round pick? Okay, I'm in. But that'll never happen. So
I don't know.
Out.
For just 1 year, what was the trade? Well, see, that's the thing. And I've had some people message me in the comments. They mentioned like Matt Stafford. But Matt Stafford still had like 2-3 years on his contract that's in the 30s. it's nowhere near as rich of a contract that Aaron Rodgers is going to command. And I was trying to look up what picks the Steelers have here, because it's not like they have a whole boatload of picks this upcoming draft to begin with just to shell out.
Yeah. I look, the other part of this is, until they fix the offensive line, these guys don't want to play behind that line. Look, if you're any of these quarterbacks, the first thing you're going to say is, how are you going to make sure I'm not getting killed?
Yeah.
And that, you know, until that's resolved, just the answer is just no. Just no, 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 no.
Yeah, well, I got draft order at least. Thanks a lot, Steelers.com. It's so hard to see. Just so they're without their fourth rounder that was traded to the Dolphins, fifth rounder traded to the Jets. They got one sixth rounder back from Kansas City because they had given another one away to Jacksonville with the Schobert trade. So there's things bouncing around. And then, of course, they got a seventh rounder from the Jets. They got two seventh rounders. And, of course, they should. Now, they have their first, second, and third. I think they're somewhere in the compensatory formula somewhere along the line for at least one of those, maybe. But it may not be like a third rounder, for example. So I haven't gone through all of the guys. But, you know, they lost Bud Dupree, for example, Mike Hilton. Those guys were – Matt Filer was a pretty solid big contract. I don't think – somewhere along the line, someone said that Joe Haig and having – there being an injury in him having had to play and the time that he got knocked something out of that formula, but it's not entirely out the window, but it's not going to be like the four picks or something that the Ravens got the year before from all of their losses. So there will be a little bit more in here, and they can trade compensatory picks now. That was a new thing just the year before. But, you know, don't forget, they're making trades for Schobert and Akella Witherspoon and things of that nature, too, to help try and go kind of all in on Ben's last year. Did they go completely all in? No, because then they would be in cap room hell like the Packers or the Saints or some really bad, much worse situations. Steelers are like sitting around 10th most in space. So that's the reason why Russell Wilson, who's not a free agent until 2024, doesn't make any sense here either. Russell Wilson's going to command something. He's got many more years ahead of him. I kind of equate Rodgers to like Antonio Brown, maybe. Or even more so, the next guy I'll bring up, Jimmy Garoppolo, who we could crap on in a second. But Antonio Brown was what? At least you fleeced Chucky there for a third and a fifth. But people were thinking, oh, you're going to get a first-round pick. Well, he had like one more year on his Steelers contract, and they're going to have to pay him X amount of dollars, and he's nearing the twilight of his career. So,
and he lost his damn mind even before that trade.
Yeah, that's true,
I mean,
too.
You know, look, it doesn't help. But, I mean, you know, the reports out of Green Bay are that Green Bay's trying to do something to keep Rodgers in-house. Of course they want to keep him in-house. You want to keep that guy Packer for life, right? I mean, you just do. Regardless of my own opinion of him as being Mr. Overrated, you want to keep that guy there forever.
Will he still be overrated, though, if he becomes a Steeler?
Yes. I'm not going to flip-flop on this. If he comes here, I'll love him, but I will still maintain
okay,
that he's
better.
Freaking overrated, right? Because everybody praises him like, you know, he's the god of quarterbacks, and he's won once. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
I agree with you, by the way, on that.
Yeah. This is, you know, I just don't see – I don't see a trade for any of these guys happening. I just don't. I think it's highly unlikely. There's a lot of scuttlebutt on some Jets blogs. The Steelers are primed to trade with the Jets to get, you know, a quarterback in the draft. And you know, fine. I got whatever, an island in Manhattan I could sell you. Whatever. You know, I don't buy any of this stuff. Look, if a quarterback falls to them, that is somebody they really do like, yeah, then they may pull the trigger. Or they don't have the capital to go after somebody and try and jump up a crap ton of spaces to get them. It's not going to happen. A couple? Like to 18, somebody starts to drift. But again, this is my real problem with this whole conversation. I don't like any of the quarterbacks that much in this draft.
Yeah.
I don't.
Not enough for a first round pick either.
exactly.
And maybe who might be available. Everybody goes quarterback trigger happy, and I have not spoken yet about any of the quarterbacks in the draft. I'm hoping to get Ryan Lippert on. He was down at the Senior Bowl. He has some firsthand experience there, and that was going to bump you for Ryan, which would have been great content, by the way. But hopefully next week. So hopefully next week, when I normally go solo, we could fill your chair and Ryan could jump on. I believe for the first time. Has Ryan been part of the draft stuff before? Maybe
he might have been. I don't remember.
Yeah, I know you had like.
But I don't know that we actually did. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But yeah, it has to be a definite upgrade for me. Now, the reason you could twist my arm into maybe thinking about drafting a quarterback, I'm not completely opposed to it. And the reason is, yeah, I said roll with Rudolph, roll with Haskins. That's what's going to happen if you draft a guy. They're not going to get thrown in there their rookie year. I really do think they fixed the line. I took a better look at everything that's available, particularly the tackles and centers, and I'm like, there's really not a free agent unless you want a guy that's in their 30s-ish that could be, you know, let's not be funny. We get older, the bones are a little different, injuries happen a little more, and then all of a sudden J.C. Hassenauer is your starting center again, and your first round quarterback that fell there, your great value of Kenny Pickett turns into one of the Carr brothers, probably the David Carr over Derek Carr, because Derek Carr, I think a lot of people would be happy, and I'd be okay with that. It wouldn't necessarily. He was a second round pick himself, but he was only like three picks into the second round or something like that. You know what I mean? Like 35, pick 35 overall or something of that nature, of which annoyed a lot of Cleveland Browns fans that I know, because they passed over him and, you know, still dealing with a lot of that stuff. Passed over Ben, passed over T.J. Watt. Gonna remind everyone of that all the time. But you know, this is where we get into like Jimmy Garoppolo, and there's a lot of smoke to the fire because I think San Fran saves something like $25 million or something. They have like a million cap hit. They let him go. They made all of this investment into getting Trey Lance. They let him sit redshirt, you know, his first year. So now it's ready to go. Jimmy's in his last year. Hey, just got them to the NFC title game two times now. Wow. And he's got like one of the worst postseason like records. Now, I said in the 5-1s before he had a decent game against the Rams. He threw a couple touchdowns, right? But before that, he had only had 2 touchdowns and 5 picks. He was sacked 8 times. And then he had the 2 touchdowns and the bad pick at the end of the game. He's like Andy Dalton. He's like really like primetime Andy Dalton here. And his quarterback rating is like 74-1 overall in those 6 games, and it's skewed by a 6-for-8 performance when they beat Green Bay 2 seasons ago. His playoff ratings are 74-7, 69-2, 67-4, and 57-1, aside from the Green Bay one and the Rams one, which was at 87.1. These aren't like stellar performances for 5 years, $137.5 million. A guy who only threw 94 passes prior from leaving New England. And I got to throw some more salt in the wounds here. He's missed 10, 13, 10, and 2 games in 4 of the last 5 years over there with the 49ers. So if this is the guy that you're plucking down for and using most of your cap space for, and also I don't think there's a whole lot of draft picks. I think you can get this guy. They don't have they
him.
Don't
you can
fit.
Get cheap.
Yeah,
here's the reason you can get him cheaper. They're going to let him go one way or the other.
More than
it's
likely.
Either cut or trade, right?
Yeah.
If he cuts, then they get nothing. So they'll take something, but they will take the best deal they can get. And because it still is a quarterback with at least a moderately proven resume that he can win some games, they'll get something. The question is just how much. I can't imagine them getting a first-round pick. Can't even remotely imagine.
No, nor a second.
No.
People were throwing
probably
second because that's
yeah,
where
probably
he was
not
drafted.
Second.
But no,
yeah.
I don't think so either. I don't even think – at this point, it depends how needy a team is with quarterbacks. I was
somebody
to,
will be needy. Though. Somebody
yeah.
will.
I was looking at who they could maybe cut bait with other than maybe Garoppolo. I don't know. They got a few names there, but they're effectively they're almost 5 over the cap, 10 effectively if they have a 53-man or whatever roster. So they're going to need some money, the 49ers do, in order to sign some players. And that's why there's a lot of smoke to this fire. But teams know that they may just end up dumping the guy. So why give up anything?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you never know. It's kind of the same. But again, it's quarterback, and people get this was goofy. Threw 94 passes with New England.
People get dumb for quarterbacks.
They trade for him. I think they gave up a second, maybe a third for him when they traded.
I think a second.
New England. It wasn't even a first round pick. All because this is Tom Brady's backup. Because you know all the rest of them have been so great, like Ryan Mallett. So. And then give him a 5-year, $137.5 million contract on top of it. I get it. He could be accurate at times, but we're talking about Kyle Shanahan as his OC. And we mentioned this on one of the shows before, me and you, all the other guys that he had too, like Debo Samuel and George Kittle and everything like that. So I don't want to belabor just Jimmy G, but it's in case you missed the show. So, Brian, I'm taking it. That's a no from you.
No.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
Let me just
rephrase what I will say about that. Hell no.
And Kirk Cousins isn't a free agent either. He's still got another year on his contract. Derek Carr has another year on his contract.
There's a double hell though.
There's a few Looney Tunes that are out there that believe that Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson would move in division to the Steelers.
What?
I get what? Lamar won an MVP, but his style of play.
No, it doesn't fit the team. Doesn't fit how we're made. I don't know. No.
These guys are going to want $40 million apiece too.
Yeah, and the money. Yeah, the money's just crazy. No, look, they're going to draft a quarterback at some point. If it isn't this year, it'll be next year.
I think it'll be more or less then.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Is it will be next year. Ideally, what you do this year is fix the damn offensive line, get some additional weapons, and let Mason and or, you know, who the hell's our other guy? Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, let
Josh
Mason
Dobbs.
And Haskins. Yeah, fight it out. Oh, yeah, Josh Dobbs. Okay, whatever. Let Mason and Haskins figure out who's going to rise to the cream of the whatever, you know, the algae, cream of the algae. Anyway.
Chicken of the sea.
Meaning, I don't think either one of them's all that good. So let whichever one of them is going to take over, see how they can manage. Look, this team is probably going to be a running team next year. That's what they should be. That's how they're built right now. But they got to fix the offensive line and then get a quarterback who can manage the game, not be the guy. They don't need the guy next year because they need to find the guy. They don't have the guy.
Yeah, hold on. I was actually going to get to – the guy I was going to mention my guy Mason Rudolph here and some of his stats too, because you put some of it up against it sounds just blasphemous to say what Ben Roethlisberger did as a rookie. And of course, like, I tweeted this out the other day. That's why I'm trying to be lazy and see if I could bring it up. So let's see here. Ben Roethlisberger. And then I have a comment here. Mike White had his stuff from the Jets, had his stuff sent to Canton at some point this season and what happened there. But here we go. Ben Roethlisberger is rookie year, 13 games started. He was supposed to be QB3, so he gets thrown out there. 295 attempts, so not nearly the 5,600 passes he's attempting later in his career. 66-4, but he only throws for 26-24. 17 TDs to 11 interceptions, 30 sacks. The following year, a dozen games, fewer attempts, 62% completed, fewer yards in those fewer, only like 30 fewer attempts, 2,385. So it's probably, a full game. He would have been almost on par with the previous year. 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 23 sacks. A little bit better protecting himself in the ball. But then the third year, he plays 15 games, almost the full season, 469 attempts. You're having him pass more. He does not get even 60%, 59.7, 3,513 yards, 18 touchdowns to 23 picks, and 46 times he was sacked. And you put that up against Mason, career-wise, with his 10 starts, 384 attempts. That's somewhere in between Ben's first two rookie years, his following, 61.5 complete, 23.66, kind of the dink and dunk going there. Okay. 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and 16 sacks. So we're talking about protecting the ball. I did have Haskins stuff too, but somebody had mentioned what about their yards per attempt. And Ben's not his first year, but the next two were 6.3 and 6.2. So they weren't like necessarily – that was right there with Mason with his yards per attempt at 6.1. When he was a rookie, Ben had 7.4. He wasn't throwing – it was basically hand the ball off to Bettis or Parker and then launch it downfield, which he was successful at doing. It was opening up the pass game, and that's kind of where you're at right now. And I think Mason has the cannon of the arm. I think Haskins does too, although maybe not as accurate. And believe it or not, Rudolph also has a faster 40 time than Dwayne Haskins did. So please, Haskins is a pocket passer.
That's no surprise. Yeah. What? Who thought Dwayne Haskins was a mobile quarterback?
Because he played in between JT. He's the in between. Yeah, but it was clear.
Everybody who watched him knew. He didn't fit the mold of an Ohio State quarterback.
Through osmosis or guilt by association of JT Barrett.
It's crazy.
Who did nothing but run option wise and Justin Fields. That's what it ended up being. So when you look at those numbers, we're trying to say, you think Gardner Minshew puts up better numbers necessarily than any of that? You get that name floated around, not a free agent. And you get Tyler Huntley floated around, who's not a free agent at all. The Ravens are not trading within their division. What do you think about Minshew?
I think that I don't like his mustache as much as other people do.
He's Duck Hodges 2.0. You look at how erratic his games are.
I get it. There's this infatuation with goofy dudes who are like, you know, either walk-ons or low-level draft picks, and you're like, oh, there's just – he's so cool. It's great. Let's get behind him. No.
It's the underdog story. Great story. Yeah,
I get it. It is a great story, but no. Look, I don't really care. If Gardner Minshew is available for a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick and you bring him in because you feel like Mason and Haskins stink and you just want that extra body in camp, I don't care. What do I care? But nobody's going to give him up. The guy's got starting experience.
Yeah, but I do. How many guys are you going to get reps in camp, even with your ones, and get any kind of rapport or rhythm going there? You might be able to do it with two. You're not going to do it with three. So then you throw Haskins out there.
They usually have three guys in camp. I mean, one of them's going to just basically prove that he deserves the ball more than the others.
Well, three guys in camp. They'll have four in camp, but Ben didn't necessarily practice every single day in camp either.
It's a different world. But that's what I mean. Somebody's going to have to take the lead, right? I do not believe Mason has the lead by default. I just don't.
By default, entering, yes. Exiting, Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And so if you want to add the third body to that, like if you just know, like they know more than we do, right?
Absolutely.
There's no question about it. So if they make that kind of move, what that tells you is we know these two guys ain't going to do it for us. So we got to get another guy.
But Gardner Minshew, you got to trade something for him.
I know. Like I'm saying, it had to be something ridiculously low or you don't do it.
But Philly,
I don't think they're going to do any of that. No. I think absolutely they're going to ride with who they have right now. It's probably going to be Mason simply because he's got more starting experience with the team than does Haskins. Unless Haskins just finally figures his, you know, poop out and plays out of his mind, right? Starts to do relive that Ohio State 1 year story that he has and you know, hits guys, got his accuracy and is doing the right things. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Again, I don't think either one of these guys is a franchise quarterback. I think both of them potentially could be game managers who can do what you need them to do next season. Beyond that, that's where you start to try and find the next guy.
Well, people think that Rudolph – well, we already seen enough because of 2019 or even what happened with the Lions game. And you've got the games where – in those instances too, you don't have T.J. Watt when he played like for a full game. You don't have T.J. Watt playing against Week 17 Cleveland Browns. You don't have the full complement of people around him when it's Tevin Jones or Tevin Jones or Kareth White and Johnny Holton, and I mentioned and Dante Moncrief. I bring this up all the time, and it's just I'm not trying to even be subtle about it. That was a preseason or worse than preseason. That's fourth quarter, final game of the preseason type players that were on the field there.
This is what I'm going to say about that Lions game. Ben Roethlisberger plays in that Lions game. I just believe that 100%.
But I've seen Ben make enough bad passes. I understand that too. I think you put
he wins the game.
I don't guarantee that because
I have way more faith in that than I do in Mason Rudolph.
Let me tell you what happens if Ben plays in that game also. Kendrick Green snaps the ball over his head, just like he did with Rudolph. And maybe Ben, who isn't moving as gingerly, 39 years old, needs a little oil in the joints, doesn't fall on the grenade, and the Lions have a chip shot field goal to win, and then they actually lose instead of tie the game. I'm not saying it would happen,
like you can't play the game out the exact same way and say all those plays are going to be made. That's just not to be insulting to you, my dear friend, that's absurd. But you can't do that.
But what I'm saying is Mason didn't lose that game necessarily either. The defense didn't stop those long runs. You had two guys fumble.
All on him. And I will say this. I'm not saying Ben play. You know, the offense stunk last year no matter who was at quarterback most of the time. The difference was when Ben was calling plays on his own, running shotgun stuff, running no huddle stuff in the fourth quarter, basically playing street ball, they were better. I don't think Mason can do that with that team. So that's why I say I believe they'd have won the game with Ben. Doesn't mean that Mason didn't, like, perform tremendously bad, right? It's just the offense was bad.
Well, yeah, with anybody.
Bad. He's just not Ben Roethlisberger. That's the difference.
Let me share this with you. This is a fun one. How much did the Steelers struggle scoring on the first possession of their games as an offense this year?
I would say dramatically badly.
Yes.
They struggled horribly.
However, with Mason Rudolph in the Lions game, they score a 10-play, 83-yard drive to open the game. Now, I know they struggled the rest of it, and it was Boswell field goals. They also shouldn't have been giving up a 42-yard touchdown run, the Egukabike. So, anyways, I want to get off of that just because Deshaun Watson's the other guy, not a free agent.
No, that everybody I'm out, wants. Out, 100% out. Double, double, triple out, no.
Multiple first-round picks is what they're going to want, and that's because he has a huge contract that would eat all of their cap, without a doubt. A couple other names that might be actually available, Mitch Trubisky. But he was with the Bears, Brian, and Matt Nagy. It just wasn't as good. And Allen Robinson and Tariq Cohen and all of the different tight ends that they gave the guy. He made a Pro Bowl. He got him to the playoffs.
No.
Wow, was that affirmation. He's got 40-some starts. I think we know who he is. That's my problem. I don't know that we know who Rudolph and Haskins are. And I say again.
I guarantee you we don't know who Dwayne Haskins is. I will say there is some doubt, but we have an inkling of who Mason Rudolph is.
You're sealing expectations or projections of Rudolph. See, I still think his floor.
I said from day one, I don't think he's a guy. Right, I think he's a backup quarterback, lifetime guy, a game manager at best. I've said that from day one. I'm not changing it now.
Ever figure out why everyone? But see, you don't hate him though. There's just like
I don't hate him.
There is a segment that's like, cut this guy. He's a bum. And I look at all of the other past quarterbacks that they struggled with as backups. He's been the best of all of them so far. So that gives me a little more. And people will be like, wait, what? Charlie Batch had that defense behind him.
Come on now, the goat of backups.
I'm sorry, Landry was like the duck. He couldn't throw across the middle of the field to save his life. All those,
I'm not sure Mason can either though.
Kansas City picks. I don't know that he has. Some of those are like have been.
They don't let it.
Well, that's a whole other problem, and that deals with the offensive line, which we know has been a problem. But yet we don't acknowledge that with the quarterback position to give the guys a fair shot, and that's why I think.
No, I absolutely acknowledge it.
100%. If they come out and either one of them – see, I'm not even trying to say just Rudolph here. Every time I mention the quarterbacks, I'm mentioning Rudolph and Haskins because if Rudolph doesn't do well and they pull him after six games and they put Haskins in there and Haskins does well, then why the heck are you spending a first-round pick on a maybe guy? Now you're in a situation of you don't have control of Rudolph's contract necessarily. You more than likely will. He's not going to go anywhere if he's the starter. You know, and he becomes the guy. But Haskins, they have control over with all the futures and exclusive rights and the tenders and everything else. And you've got two guys that you can take a shot with. It's like I said, it's still the same thing of middle round value draft pick that you could develop and play in a year or two. Same guy as on the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dwayne Haskins, the former first round pick, who could very well just flame out like Sam Darnold, have a couple good games and then be, you know, all the air comes, all the wind comes out of them. But
I will say this the same way I've said it for how many ever years Mason's been here, right? I will be thrilled to be wrong about his upside. Thrilled. And even though I don't believe I'm wrong, for every minute and every snap the guy plays, I will cheer and yell at him just the same way I would if he was Ben or Terry Bradshaw or any of the quarterbacks they've had in the 40-odd years I've watched this team, right? I just will, you know, and it's longer than that. It's 50-odd years. But, but whatever. I will cheer for him no matter what. I don't hate the guy. I just don't see the talent there that makes me have confidence. And this is the difference. Like when you start to mention stats, right? Mm-hmm. You were talking about the stats from Ben, the stats from Mason. Here's the difference. You watched Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie season in those games, and you said to yourself, holy crap, we got the guy. I just don't do that when I see Mason play.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with Ben. Hold on a second. This is what's fun because do we really know that he's the guy? Okay, his first game ever as a start, Miami. It's a monsoon. 12 of 22, 17 of 25, 16 of 21. He finally gets his first multiple touchdown game. 21 of 25. 18 of 24, 11 of 18, 10 of 16, 15 of 21, 9 of 20, 14 for 17, 9 for 19, 18 for 28, and 14 for 19. Yeah, they won all these games, and some of them 16 to 7, 17 to 16, 17 to 6. We remember a lot of good things with this, but that defense was freaking elite.
Oh, absolutely! Look,
that helps a lot.
You cannot. But this is the difference, and I'm saying that you can't get this from running stat lines. You just can't.
You have to go back
and watch the games. And when you watch the games, you simply saw not perfection. No one will ever accuse Ben Roethlisberger of being the perfect quarterback. He wasn't. But you saw a will to win in that guy. You saw him do things on the football field we've never seen a quarterback do, right? You saw him find ways to make plays that you've never seen guys make. I don't see that coming from Mason Rudolph.
But everybody forgets about young Ben. That's the thing. It's like
I am talking about young Ben.
I know.
That's who I'm talking about.
10 of 16, 134 yards, no touchdowns and a pick, and they beat the Browns 24-10. It's strictly because of Ben in that situation.
No, and nobody's saying it is. It's just, again, you watch the games. Yes, you expected it. You expected him to not be perfect. You expected him to make mistakes. But you watched the things he did and the attitude he took to the field and the way he played. It was just different.
I just think we look at that differently because it's Ben and we have it up here and you expect Mason to be up here, but Mason's down here where young Ben is, and it's going to come. I read into it a little bit differently. And I just see
cast. Go back. Remember one of the very first things I wrote when I was actually writing things for Steel City Underground?
You wrote stuff for the website?
I did write stuff for the website back in the day.
It's called Ancient History Part 2.
Yeah, when I had time to actually sit down and put my thoughts, was the conversation about Ben Roethlisberger and where he ranked. This is not new news for me, right? This, I'm telling you, I would have told you the exact same thing in 2004 watching him play. That I'm telling you right now, you just got a different sense of the guy than you get with Mason. I hate saying it factor because I hate that term and I think it's stupid, but there is an it factor.
Does Ben being trading up and drafting him, did they trade up to move up to get Ben? No, it was that Pullman.
No, he fell.
Yeah, he fell. But anyways, first round pick, getting the move to get him in. He's in the first round. He's a first round
pick. You
were
excited about the fact that they got a first round pick. Remember, he didn't play. You had Tommy Gunn. You thought, okay, he's going to sit all year. You didn't expect anything out of this guy. Like, I didn't have high expectations. Yeah. First of all, this is back in the day when you draft a guy out of Miami of Ohio, you think to yourself, what the hell are they doing? That's not a top-tier school. It's not like now, right? You're talking 18 years ago. You didn't do that kind of stuff because those lower-level schools didn't produce guys that were going to be Hall of Famers. You didn't see that. It was like Michigan, It was Ohio State's. It was USC quarterbacks. It was. No. It wasn't those other guys.
The Michigan guy fell to the sixth round, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not talking about that Michigan guy. I'm just saying, most of the guys came from well-established, high-end schools. Now you're like, so are you super, super excited? Oh, we got this guy from Ohio, Miami of Ohio.
But it's still, they've been, it's the quarterback purgatory of Kent Graham and Cordell Stewart and Tommy Maddox. And then this guy could have come out.
Don't put poor Cordell in purgatory. Cordell was okay.
Cordell does not, he who shall not be named threw three picks in a Super Bowl. Cordell,
who shall not be named, is still purgatory.
Cordell threw three in an AFC championship game against the aforementioned guy from Michigan.
I didn't say he was good. I just said he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, well, I have a special place in my heart for Cordell, and that was one of my first purchased jerseys of all time. It's somewhere in getting moths eaten into it. Hey, I could jump in on a couple of these other guys. We could probably debate this till the cows come home. We won't actually know, but I'm just trying to set people up for the thought, because just about everyone else outside of us is like, they're going to draft a quarterback. Unless it's Pro Football Focus, then it's an edge rusher for some reason. I had to throw it out there, because TJ Watt is only, he's not elite according to them. So anyways,
I'm going to take my Festivus poll and find PFF and just stick it up someplace that the sun don't shine.
Marcus Mariota is the one I see the most of, and everybody is so excited because they see in prime time that he gets in for these special packages with the Las Vegas Raiders and attempts all of two passes in the 10 games that he played this past year for the Raiders. And I don't know, I don't have his running numbers, but I do have, who cares if he runs? I don't really care. His 19 starts, his final games with Tennessee in 2018 and 2019, which amounts to 491 attempts, Brian, completed 65.8 of them for 3,731 yards. So that sounds pretty good. 18 touchdowns only, though. He didn't even get to 20 touchdowns on almost 500 attempts. 10 interceptions. You know, he's giving up the ball. That's not too bad. 67 sacks. Under 500 attempts, 67 sacks, and was it – I will have his running stats here in just a second. And 12 fumbles. So now that 10 interceptions, But you get this guy moving and you want him to be a mobile quarterback, he doesn't protect the ball or he goes down and kills your drive. And he's probably running more or less because he's not reading the field properly as well. That's my case in point for a lot of the mobile quarterbacks. They tend to take off. It's not Ben escaping the pocket, looking downfield, and doing backyard football. They don't have that extra innate ability to do that, some of these guys. That's why I'm out on Mariota. I'm sure you are too.
Out.
Change any stance on Jameis Winston?
Out.
Want to talk free agents, or are we just going to kill it with quarterbacks and come back to free agent? No. I'm talking about just overall what the Steelers got to go with. That was the other thing that I covered while you were gone.
We could try for the people who are like, I don't know, this may be one of the more entertaining shows we've done as we've kind of gone at each other a little bit here.
Well, no, this is why I needed you. That's why I needed you here, not to go like 90 minutes either and extend this and be too long. But I was gonna pause in the middle of the one rant. And I was like, see, buddy, I missed you. Oh, come on in. Yeah, it's like, I don't expect you to always agree with me. That's the whole point of why you're here.
I know.
But we do have the same mindset as far as the business of football and how the organization operates, as opposed to just trash these guys, bring in Minshew, draft Kenny Pickett, and sign Jimmy G, of which that just makes my head explode all over the place. And
as you posted in the back channels, and Bob, our boy Bob Labs, will say, Yince is going to Yince, man. You just got to let him. And there's some scary ass stuff that comes up on I can tell you right now. Maybe I might have some of the same level of patience that Bob has. You could not deal with that.
Some of it, you know what? I'm trying to figure out where – I'm trying to look that up now. Here it is. I believe this is the Asked and Answered segment that Bob Labriola does on Steelers.com. He says, I believe you select a majority of the questions for entertainment purposes. No one with a human mind could formulate such ridiculous questions. He goes, want to bet? See below. And yeah. Raymond from Toledo asks, what do Yinzers have against sticking with Mason Rudolph, restricted free agent Dwayne Haskins, Josh Dobbs, or if he goes to Nassau, trade for Cooper Rush, bumping coach Mike Tomlin, the general manager? See, I was good at the beginning of this, and now he makes me – now it's going to make me look like I want to hide under the desk. Bumping
as
coach
well
Mike Tomlin,
should.
Tomlin, the general manager, giving Omar Khan a bump in pay and a fancier title – because I guess a VP of whatever he is. Let's make him part owner while we're at it. To keep the salary cap in good shape, hiring either Byron Leftwich, Hines Ward, or Mike Munchak as head coach.
Stop. Go back a second. To keep the salary cap, we have to keep the salary cap in good shape. It's fine right now.
Because he's there. He doesn't want to lose him, though. So you got to give him like some other title. I don't know, like king of the castle. I don't know. Like, what do you do for this?
Overwhelming and lord of cap.
Then we could draft Kenny Pickett if he falls to us. So Cooper Rush and Kenny Pickett on the same roster with Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, which, again, I think we're just going to stick with quarterbacks. So I'll get you your thoughts because we're never going to get all of these free agents in. And we'll do that as maybe some offseason planning, too. We could talk about, because I only went with free agents. I didn't talk about the guys that are still here or not going anywhere or what they could be looking for in free agency. So we'll do that next time. We'll table that. But this one right here is just like, then we could draft Kenny Pickett if he falls to us, or we could hold out a couple of years for a quarterback while the line gets stronger. And he goes, I'm sure you and your Yinzer buddies think that's a capital idea, but every night before I crawl into bed, I get on my knees and thank God that no one who might think that's a solid plan is calling the shot for the Steelers. And wow. Now, you guys got me with Najee last year. And I don't know where you were on board with the first round running back pick.
I initially didn't like it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not that I didn't like, I could see it. I just figured that it was more important to get an O-line guy because how are you going to run? But I also didn't think he'd be there. Remember, we were like, I don't know if he'll be there. The fact that he was there, by the time he got drafted, we all knew he was going to be the pick. There was no question at all. And, you know, it ended up being fine with it. Hell, I picked him in the last three mock drafts I
did too. I had him in quite a few of my later mocks. Originally, I had anywhere from it was one of the Patrick Surtain, maybe one of the juniors, or Asante Samuel. I was thinking maybe they could look at corner, just based on Joe Hayden's age. I may have even thrown a center, but I wasn't heavy on a first round center. I was all the whole time along thinking that Creed Humphrey, and he was there. But Pat, I don't think they thought Pat Freiermuth was going to be there, and that was, how much time they got on the clock in the second round? Did they get like 2 minutes or something still in the second round, minute and a half?
I mean, I'll give you my hot take. I love Freiermuth. I love it.
Yes.
Right? I had to take
it. I had him mocked. I'm not going to lie. But I thought it was going to be Quinn Miners after that, and they passed on him for Kendrick Green, which was quite surprising. And you're like, whoa, wait. And the professor, Zach Meckler, is the one who nailed that one. So, we talk about this. So you could twist my arm. I haven't talked a whole lot of draft or offseason. I would pass on all these free agents. And if you did one of these, let's say Kenny Pickett's there. And they see him a little more. It's kind of the same thing as the James Conner feel. The guys in the same buildings or facilities and stuff. Whatever may be the case. I'm not so sure about Malik Willis. Some people are like, well, just get him in the second round. I don't think he falls too far into there, too. He may not. It all depends. We've got so much left of this journey to go to where this guy's going to be. We're going to have teams that might start trading up in the draft, and you're going to get that 49ers move where now you're talking about Trey Lance. Could he be a late first-round pick to where, geez, maybe the 49ers do take him like third or whatever overall. You know what I mean? So I want to kind of pump the brakes on that, but let's just say one of these guys, a Sam Howell, who's been linked with Kevin Colbert and could be one of his final picks, is there. I won't hate it. I'm not so opposed to taking a quarterback. It's just my concept of it is now you've taken it and everyone's going to be like, why is Rudolph starting? Why is Haskins getting these reps in the preseason? Because they're not going to kill this guy behind maybe an O-line that isn't fixed because the free agent class isn't all that great. Where I'd much rather spend some of that capital, although we know that it's going to be a little deeper with offensive line in this draft. But we also don't think the quarterback class maybe not so hot this year. So if they fail this year and they win five games for the first time, haven't won since Shep was a pup, and 1988 is the last time they finished in the basement of the AFC, what was the Central, their division. Okay, then. Now you're drafting somewhere probably in the late teens or mid-teens at worst. At worst, you may have a top 10 pick, and then you could target in a better quarterback class. Are you willing? Look at Bengals fans. Everyone's saying about, oh, well, they had Joe Burrow. Well, they had to be the worst team in the NFL to get him tops overall. Are you willing to sacrifice that this year to see either if the guys you got are good enough to where you don't need to use that pick next year and can continue to make your team better? You're going to be pleasantly surprised by how well maybe Rudolph or Haskins plays. Or you sacrifice and have a bad season, and then you get the guy, and then all of a sudden you're in the same situation where you're instantly competitive again because you worked on other areas of the team. Yeah, but being
I say this in complete facetiousness, complete knowing. Wait, I even have the perfect thing to hold up for this. Let me just do this after I say this. Okay, so I'm going to say this: tank for CJ.
No one's tank. Even if you do tank, someone may be even worse. And maybe someone gives up a whole lot of whatever to trade. I don't believe in that philosophy whatsoever. I just don't.
It
doesn't guarantee you anything. But you're playing horribly and just wrecking. You're wrecking your team. You're wrecking your culture. Some people are gonna say, "Ah, culture." We get the smart asses that are on here. Brian, man, we got to put a bow on this, my friend.
Yes,
I think
we
covered enough bases with the quarterbacks. So
all right. So
what
here's
do you got for the two percenters.
Here's the thing. All right. So you can tell, like, I'm sort of letting the hair grow, right? I don't have the mohawk right now. I have hair.
Uh-oh.
I'm making Joe jealous. He's unhappy. And
it's freshly shaven under there, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, it was
and
in the
I found out, take away the Steel City Underground life and go back to the real world. My real world, we have this big event that's coming up, and they're going to take headshots, professionally done headshots, for us to use within our, environs, right? And I'm now completely torn. I do not feel like I can not have the mohawk for the headshot. I feel like I absolutely now have to do that. So two percenters, I need you to help me. I don't want to, like, I don't want to be corporate Brian. I need to know. Now, I even had one of the people that I work with tell me I need to show up for my headshot with the mohawk dyed black and gold.
You need the Mike Tyson tattoo over your eye, too.
No, that's out. I'm not doing that. Get that. That's a bridge too far.
Well, you heard it. Get some suggestions for Brian. Leave them over. Send them through the website. Send them through Facebook. Send them through everywhere but Instagram, really.
I don't pay attention to Instagram. Do it on Twitter. I'll see it there.
I do, but it's like once a week when I'm actually on the SCU Instagram.
I have like 500 followers on Instagram, and I don't know why because I don't do anything.
I miss Twitter messages every now and then to the site, but for the most part, it'll eventually get to us. But through the site, YouTube, we usually see most of the comments sent here. Send them our way.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
And Helmet guys, I promise you, I'm going to try and get them out this weekend. It's been very hectic in my
life. You had snowpocalypse like I did as well. So had to survive through that first. The mail still came for some reason. I'm like, no, you could skip a day. It's okay. Okay. But we don't want that little mail truck skipping off into a ditch somewhere. But Brian, thanks for joining me, my friend. We got to do this again. It's always fun. It's always great. I'm sure everyone else out there agrees. It's better than just hearing me be almost as old as you, man, old man, yelling at clouds. So, thanks, man.
I miss not being able to hang with my brother from another mother. Plus, I didn't get to wear my grown ass man shirt last time around, so I wanted to wear my grown ass man shirt. Coming soon to a Steel City Underground store near you.
SteelCityUnderground.com/shop, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to get it up there.
The Dr. Evil.
Everybody can hug.
Makes me feel good, man. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. You could send me flowers, too, if you'd like. Some chocolates. I prefer chocolates if it's from you. Just gets a little weird there.
Are you really sure you want chocolates from me?
Maybe not. You'll sabotage it somehow, just knowing. But anyways,
I could give you some homemade fudge.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And on that note, folks, please be safe out there. Be good. Be good. Be safe. Be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.